Welcome to the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Brian Christopherson. I'm joined by Michael Brunts, and I am offering my apologies, and we're going to run stadium steps today because I was not here for the last podcast.
You had some tech issues. That happens. I felt badly. Hopefully you got the tire tracks off your back where Schaefer threw you under the bus for your computer
issues. What did he do? How did he run him over me?
No, I think he said you were out playing golf.
Ah, isn't that interesting?
He said you're playing hooky, can we rule out the fact that he's not playing golf today? I don't know.
No, we can't. He might be, he might not be, but we can't rule it out. That's for sure. I think you defended my honor slightly and blamed it on my dog, and that would be accurate because he ran through my cord of my computer, and the computer went crashing to the ground, and it was a sad situation. But I ended up with sort of a better screen now on my new computer, and so Ronnie, my puppy, is a hero.
He did you a favor.
Accidentally, yeah. He's an accidental hero. So I'm thankful.
There you go. Everything turned out fine in the end, and here we are on the Friday podcast.
I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. Things even out. You know, something bad happens, it evens out. Then I get $20 in my pocket. I forgot that it was in there.
There you go.
So what do we have to talk about?
Yeah, it's a little slow these days, at least on the football front. But you had a run of, I think, pretty solid content at Husker 24/7.
Thanks.
Based off of a lengthy discussion with Travis Fisher about all things defensive backs and recruiting and all that other stuff. So I think we should hit on some of that because I think – you know, we've kind of previewed that group already and kind of what they have coming back, a very veteran group with some intriguing guys nipping at their heels on the depth chart. But I think there was a lot of topics that we can maybe dive into here if you want to do that.
Let's do it. And I forgot we previewed them, but that's not surprising because we had a plan that we were going to go through every position group, but nobody actually wrote down which position groups we went through. And so we're sort of we're probably repeating some of them.
Yeah. But hey, let's get into, you know, your conversation. You hit on some good stuff, but what, I guess, give me the most intriguing thing that Travis Fisher talked to you about or that you asked him about that came out of that conversation.
I mean, I think it's Nadab Joseph. He didn't by any means guarantee that he's going to be a starter or anything, but he said he's sure going to be in the running for it. And I hadn't given up on Nadab Joseph at all. You're not going to with a prospect of that nature who is wanted by basically everybody coming out of high school. But I also didn't really know what his situation was. So when I asked him about it, it wasn't like a leading question or anything like, is Nadab about to turn the corner? It was sort of a serious, like, what's his situation? And, you know, like how involved is he over there? I know he had some injuries. Like, can he get himself in the mix? And then you realize as Travis Fisher's answering the question, yeah, he's definitely in the mix. He's right in the middle of it. And that's exciting. I think to Husker fans, we did a poll the other day on our site asking, you know, which newcomer they thought would bust, you know, onto the scene in 2021. And he won the vote. And I was thinking to myself a week ago, how many votes would Nadab Joseph have received in a poll like that? You know, because I just don't think anybody knew quite where he was.
So what you're saying is that article started the hype train down the tracks?
Well, it kind of ended up sounding like I was really patting myself on the back for the article. That wasn't the intent. I like the rest of them over the last week. Was like, okay, Nadab Joseph, you know, like I just think a week ago at this time, I wasn't thinking about him very much. And I don't know if a lot of fans were. And suddenly as you go into spring in a few weeks, I think he's a very exciting prospect who could work at corner, could work at safety. I mean, we're talking about somebody who Alabama wanted out of high school. He had some, you know, academic hurdles so that didn't work out. So he ends up signing with Georgia. But that didn't end up happening because of the academic thing. So he had to go the JUCO route. So it's been a winding road here. So it's always a good thing when a guy like that, who has been through so many things and shows up to Nebraska, and it doesn't just happen right away for him last year. Like, he wasn't cleared to play until November. There were some injuries. He only participated in two games on special teams. That could be a situation where a big time recruit gets kind of, you know, down in the dumps and, you know, gives in a little bit, and he's doing the opposite, it appears. That Travis Fisher says he's one of the first guys there in the morning real early all the time, just, you know. So he's a guy who's, at least to his coach's eye, is really driven right now, and that's sort of where it stands.
Yeah, the point I think that maybe got lost in the discussion last year about him was the fact that he wasn't eligible till November. Like, he
– yes.
The reason he was not playing is because he could not play. Like, it wasn't an issue of him, you know, not learning the defense or being buried on the depth chart. Like, he was in limbo eligibility wise until, was it the Illinois game? Was that his first game?
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, there was really, when you think about it, no way a guy like him was going to bust it. Like, you were going to see him as like the starting cornerback all of a sudden. It would have been a huge upset, or just you would have been like sort of in desperation mode. And as Travis Fisher said, it's not like they were the deepest overall last year, because they weren't by the end of the season, but he makes a very good point. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically the top four or five guys were really dependable guys, you know, that he had, like, with when you have Boodle, or you had Boodle and you had the two senior safeties and Cam Taylor Britt. It's going to be tough to break down a door and just take snaps away from those guys. You know, like, that's not an easy group to necessarily do that. And so he was making that point, which I think is a good one.
I guess, what's the picture look like for him moving forward? Cause he could play at either spot, right?
Yeah. And I have to say, Travis Fisher didn't give away where that would be. You know how it is. He's one of my favorite guys to interview over there, Travis Fisher. But if you ask him about a guy's position, he's generally going to tell you, we cross train everybody, you know, and that continues to be the way of doing things. Like, I asked about Noah Pola Gates, you know, is he a safety? And he's like, well, I mean, right now they're working all over the place. He's working at corner safety. So it's hard to dial in, but the takeaway quote was, Nadab Joseph can be in the running to be a starter corner or safety. And he says, I say that, you know, knowing, you know, we have two senior safeties and there's Cam Taylor Britt over there and all that stuff. But just because you're an old guy doesn't mean you get a spot. And he said the old guys understand that fully.
So that group, you know, there was a lot of, I guess, kind of back and forth in the offseason about, you know, what that group would look like coming into the spring. You end up getting Dismuke, Williams, Cam Taylor Britt, all back. What did he kind of tell you about the decisions that those guys made and maybe where things stand with that group now? Cause he said, you know, he was careful to say that they weren't maybe the deepest group last year, but what does he kind of feel about that depth now going into 2021 with, you know, those guys plus a Miles Farmer coming back off of a pretty bad ankle injury too?
Yeah. I think first off, it wasn't like they had a lot of conversations, he said, with those guys before they decided to return. Basically, they came, like Cam Taylor Britt, he said he had one conversation with about it. I think it was one conversation. And that was sort of that. Now, there was a decision to be made. He didn't act like it was just like Cam was like, yep, I'm definitely coming back. I mean, there was at least some thought process that was put into it, but it was pretty efficient in how it all went down. And the same for the seniors. I got the impression that both those senior safeties, when 2020 was first starting, when the season was first starting, and it was said that seniors could have an extra year in 2021, Fisher sort of said those guys seemed to maybe at that moment, maybe the thought was, you know, we'll move along. after 2020, because they're older guys. I mean, they're both like 23 or 24 years old now. It's not only that you want to pursue your football ambitions at the pro level, maybe it's that you're getting to the point where maybe you just want to move on with life. But as they got further into the 2020 season, he mentioned that those guys in a way have some unfinished business. He feels like at Nebraska about this team and like kind of setting this program straight and getting this program, you know, on the winning ledger again. And so I think that was part of it really with some of these guys returning. It's just like, there's sort of a bad taste in their mouth right now, 'cause there's been these losing seasons and it's like, you don't know what's going to happen at the next level. If you try to make the pros, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen for you. So there is something to be said for spending another year, you know, in a program that you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into and saying, I want to leave this on a firm foundation before I head out the door. And I definitely think that's on the minds of a lot of these guys.
There's some other young guys in that group that you wrote about. I think there's, you know, given his the accolades that he came in with as a four-star guy that you know, was an All-American Bowl participant with no poll of Gates. You've got Miles Farmer. You have kind of an intriguing matchup or battle, I guess, this spring at that cornerback spot to replace DiCaprio Boodle. I mean, what's kind of the picture, I guess, of guys like Timon Lineham and Quentin Newsome and those guys as they, I guess, we're still, you know, 20 plus days away from the start of fall or spring camp here. But what did he kind of have to say about depth?
Yeah, young guys. Timon Lineham's an interesting name because he is a guy who is from Florida. He was part of the 2020 class where some of those DBs left, but he came into Lincoln. He immediately got after it in the weight room. He gained like 25 pounds in a matter of months. And Travis Fisher said he really got in the boat with the veterans. Like, he really got around those guys and sort of just soaked it in. And Travis Fisher's point is guys like that who come maybe from the South, you know, there were obviously some departures and a big deal was made about that. But usually if after you kind of get your feet settled for a year or so, he feels pretty good about guys, you know, sticking and, you know, really believing in the culture and being part of things. And so Lineham's a good example of a guy who was a newcomer who did come from far away and has grown to, I think, enjoy where he's at and appreciate the competition around him. So that's an encouraging story. I do think it could be hard for Lineham this year. This is just me talking to break through because you hear Nadab Joseph's name. And then Quentin Newsome to me is sort of going to be the guy that maybe people won't talk about enough because there'll be like this energy around Braxton Clark if he's back from injury and obviously Nadab Joseph. But Quentin Newsome was basically a third starter last year at corner. And they would throw him out there in some key moments to give a guy a breather, like to give Cam or DiCaprio a breather. And you wouldn't even notice it because he would just lock up his guy. And I think there's a ton of confidence in him. So I think Quentin's going to be tough to budge in that competition at one of the corner spots. It's going to be a good one, but I don't think it's going to be easy to knock him off. And he said Noah Pola Gates almost played more last year and is definitely going to play this year. So that it's a big year, obviously, for Noah because it's year three and you want to kind of make that move.
The point you just made about kind of how they wove Quentin Newsome into the rotation, I think is it's an important one because that's kind of what they were doing with Miles Farmer a little bit, you know? So, you know, when they have it feels like when Travis Fisher has a guy that's kind of close to being able to maybe not start, but is deserving of playing time, it seems that's kind of the way he operates. I mean, you'll get a series here, a series there where that guy is kind of thrown in the mix and then, you know, they come back out. They were doing that, correct me if I'm wrong, a little bit with Braxton Clark before you know, he got hurt with his, I guess that would have been what, 2019, that year. So, I mean, that's where, you know, those young guys have to be ready. 'Cause it seems like if there's an opportunity for, you know, even, you know, eight snaps or something like that, a game, they're not afraid to throw guys in. And even Isaac Gifford got in kind of a similar situation last year at times whenever they had the targeting issues and injuries and all that other stuff. So I think it's a good approach. And I think the defensive backfield, especially if guys are close to being able to contribute, I think it makes sense to kind of go about doing it that way.
Yeah, he wants basically eight guys that he feels are starters, and he wants to be able to have 10 or 12 that he feels like he could play. So that's almost all of his scholarship room, basically. He wants to feel like we could use you. Isaac Gifford, it's good you brought him up because people should be paying attention to him. They like him. He's very mature. He was in there, like you say, on some key defensive snaps. And when you talk about who's the next JoJo Doman after JoJo, you know, Javon Wright, who is still working with Travis Fisher, by the way, and is listed as a safety, he could obviously be a guy who has a body type that could fit in that role. But I think Isaac Gifford is a guy who they can move around as a chess piece all over the place too. And I think they already know that. I think Isaac has a lot of the same traits and, you know, skill set as his brother. And that's a compliment because I think Luke was a very good player by the end of his Husker career. So Isaac Gifford, I think Travis Fisher's quote, like he's a grown man or something like that. I mean, he's definitely on his radar. And the other guy I would mention, I don't know if he'll factor in immediately as far as the secondary, but Marquise Buford, who's an early enrollee, has picked up things basically as fast or faster than any freshman Travis Fisher's coach, he said. He's processing information at both safety and cornerback. So that all in all, for the guys that they left, they lost those three guys from the 2020 class in the defensive backfield. I feel like they're not in a bad spot, you know, and a big part of it is because those seniors did come back at safety, because Cam Taylor-Britt came back. Because of those things, they're really, I mean, I'm not saying they're just like, you can say they've got amazing depth yet, but they definitely have the potential for very good depth and to move on from those departures pretty quickly, where it's sort of one of those things like, oh yeah, that happened. You know, they have the ability, it's within their control to make those departures from last year sort of old news in a hurry. And I think that's sort of what Travis Fisher plans to do.
You mentioned Javon Wright. He's at safety. What's the plan?
Well, I kind of understand where coaches come from. Everybody gets caught up in the labels. And at some point, you do have
to. I'm caught up in the labels, Brian.
Yeah, I do. I do, too. At some point, you got to decide who you're. Like who's the coach you're working with the most and stuff like that. And I do think there are some different requirements of like what JoJo Doman does, everybody in Travis Fisher's room does, but Travis Fisher does make the point that a lot of the safeties and like the outside backer spot that Doman's playing, there are a lot of crossover similarities there, between what they're asked to do. And point well taken when you consider that there were plays where I thought the best play JoJo Doman made all of last season was the one against, I think it was Minnesota, which was a terrible game for Nebraska. But remember when it was like a 50-yard pass down the field and you have JoJo Doman, your outside linebacker, you know, making a play on a ball like a safety and knocking it away. Mm-hmm. So you do see where the circles mix there and what he's talking about. But I still think that's going to be a big storyline with Javon Wright sort of as it goes forward. Which coach does he work with the most? You know, do they move him over into Dawson's room or how much do they split that up? I don't know yet. Maybe they are splitting it up because I only talked to Travis Fisher. So I'm sure we'll learn a lot more in the spring. And Javon Wright's got to get healthy. That's the thing. He's had some tough, you know, injury setbacks that probably stopped him from being a contributor last year, but I know they really like him over there. So he's another guy Travis Fisher said is he's there early all the time and is just sort of a sponge. So he's got some guys like that, and that's why he's pretty optimistic.
Anything else that we didn't hit on that's worth hitting on?
No, I mean, I think we went through most of it. Miles Farmer, it sounds like, is, you know, he's moving around and cutting pretty well. So we'll see if he's full go this spring or if it's sort of – Travis Fisher said you got to be smart. There's still a lot of time till the season. So I would guess maybe some of those guys, they back off a little bit. You know, when you think about it, Farmer's injury seemed terrible on the surface. When I first heard about it and all that and a guy gets carted off, you mean I had the worst thoughts of like what the timetable could be. And so the idea that even if he's like sort of just half go out there in spring, but he's out there, that's way better than I thought it was going to be in December. So that's to me, that's very encouraging. It sounds like Braxton, who had the shoulder thing, is he's knocking the weights around in the weight room pretty good and is ready to compete. So, I think they're pretty healthy, knock on wood, right now.
As long as they don't have to go back to West Lafayette between now and the start of the season, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and that one got moved, right? So that they were going to have to go back there, weren't they? And then so they maybe that was part of Nebraska's, you know, they're like, hey, we can't
we already lost there. Farmer and Adab Joseph in that game. Like that, they were basically running a shuttle service on that on the Gator cart, getting those guys off the field.
Until you put some field turf on that bad boy, we are not going back to Purdue. That was like the ultimatum that Bill Moose gave them. Isn't Purdue supposed to be a school that specializes in turf management too?
Yeah, well, yeah, they've got that like picturesque golf course right behind the stadium and near that McDonald's where Purdue Pete got a little rowdy at 3 a.m. So yeah, for his, I don't think you're going to be getting a letter of recommendation from anybody at Nebraska for Purdue's turf management program. Maybe they should just stick to engineering and putting astronauts in space.
Yeah. Purdue Pete did get in trouble at the McDonald's in the parking lot on Stadium Drive, which was fitting that it was the Stadium Drive McDonald's. And I remember that I saw that story and I think I saw it a smidge before you.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to send you that link. not because of someone else's misfortunes. I hope the young man that is actually was Purdue Pete. Although in the headline, they called the guy Purdue Pete. They didn't like call him that was like the name. Purdue Pete gets in trouble. So I sent you that headline because I knew that would resonate with you.
Yeah, that was the talk of the house for a couple of days, I think.
Have you ever had to explain at home why you have, you know, what your liking of Purdue Pete or why you feel so attached to him? Like, does your wife ever get concerned about that or anything?
No, we don't actually talk about it. I'm pretty sure that would be a potential deal breaker if we got into that conversation. So.
It's a good thing she didn't know about that when you were recording.
Exactly.
Well, that's all I know. I have a limited amount of knowledge up in this brain and I used most of it right there.
You emptied the tank.
Yeah. But right. you know some things about Husker baseball, I bet.
Yeah, they're facing Purdue actually this afternoon. We could talk about it a little bit after the break if you want.
Let's do it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Brian Christofferson, joined by Michael Bruns, and they're going to play ball. It's actually going to happen.
It's baseball season finally at a empty stadium in Round Rock, Texas. Just as it should be, I guess.
Just as they announced that 8,000 people could get inside a indoor arena, but we couldn't get like 800 into a ballpark at least.
Yeah. So So Nebraska baseball starts today, 4-game series against the Purdue Boilermakers. We can get into just a cursory preview of things here, but to start with, you had the Big Ten does this thing in every sport where they have players to watch. It's not a preseason team or all conference team. It's just players that you might want to watch. It's the participation ribbon of preseason all-conference teams. Nebraska has Cade Povich, Chance Rock, and Spencer Schwellenbach as their group. But more importantly, the Big Ten actually does a preseason baseball poll among its coaches, strangely enough. And Nebraska was not picked in the top six. Which... not particularly surprising, but you know, I think with this year's team, I think there's probably a kind of a wait and see with the conference on what Nebraska can be. You've got, you know, three. I guess Povich started last year, but you have two new guys in the weekend rotation. You have a completely different back of the bullpen. You have guys that you can kind of count on, I guess, in the lineup, but there's some unknowns around this team as they kind of get going. So not, like I said, not particularly surprising that Nebraska wasn't picked in the top six, but definitely, you know, an opportunity for Nebraska to surprise some people because, you know, they're kind of coming off still. I think Michigan's riding high off their championship series appearance at the College World Series a couple of years ago. But I think every other team in the Big Ten has some nice pieces. They also have guys that are there's some question marks there too. So lots of potential for shakeups, I guess, in the conference.
All right. There's fans out there who, you know, they don't know the lineup inside and out. I think there's people like me who it takes like a few weeks into the season where you got to like get the names in order. Like, okay, this is the new Husker team. Like, you don't know. It's not obviously talked about all off season, like the football roster is, but give us sort of the 1 through 9 and strengths and potential holes. Like, give us that, like the Phil Steele, Michael Bruns preview, you know?
So with the lineup, like I said, Nebraska had a lot of guys come back that had that extra year granted. Mojo Haggie's back. Luke Roskam is back. Joe Acker is back. So you have guys that have kind of been through it a little bit. Jackson Hallmark is also back in the lineup. Hallmark's going to pitch a little bit too, but Spencer Schwellenbach at shortstop is a likely high draft pick mm-hmm. that gets a lot of attention from scouts. He'll also be an arm out of the bullpen. He's been throwing 95, 96 miles an hour out of the bullpen for Nebraska. But, you know, two young guys to watch. Max Anderson from Millard West. He'd been committed to Texas A&M for a long time. Ended up coming to Nebraska instead. He's going to play a lot for Nebraska this year. Bryce Matthews, the other freshman, I think, to really watch in the infield. He was a really talented high school quarterback out of Texas, really athletic kid who's going to get quite a bit of run around the infield as well. So, you know, the thing to remember about this team, at least on paper and also from talking to the coaches, they feel really good about the depth they have in their lineup this year. They have the ability to match up with righties and lefties more so than they have in the past, which is huge. And, you know, you have, you know, the other guy I forgot to mention, Logan Foster, another Texas A&M transfer. He was a freshman All-American. He's going to be eligible this year for Nebraska in the outfield. So, you know, 1-9, they've got guys that can hit. And that was the one thing that in the shortened season last year they did really well was they scored runs. You know, they really knocked Arizona State around a little bit. They knocked Baylor around. They were kind of starting to find their footing a little bit at the plate when the season got canceled. So I think as we stand right now on Friday, March 5th, they should be able to score some runs. We can, I guess, talk a little pitching too. You know, that's the big question mark is whether they've got the guys that can kind of shut things down. And I know that the pitching staff, at least the starting pitching, has been very good in practices and was also very good in the fall as well and really competitive against a veteran lineup. So we'll see if that translates, but you have Cade Povich starting today, left-hander, former JUCO guy, another guy that's gotten some early MLB draft run. Behind him, you have Chance Rock, who transferred as a grad transfer from New Mexico State. He was all conference down there, a sinker ball pitcher. So he keeps the ball down, which is a positive there. And then Shay Shaneman, who was Nebraska's closer last year and a really important arm out of the bullpen his freshman year, is going to be transitioning to kind of the Sunday role for Nebraska this year too. So they've got three guys they feel pretty good about. The question mark is whether or not they have the arms in the bullpen to kind of bridge the gap from their starters to a guy like Schwellenbach in maybe that closing role. So, you know, that's kind of the challenge for every Big Ten team, I think, is a depth of pitching. But certainly for Nebraska, they're going to have to show that they have that ability, I think, if they're going to get into that conversation beyond just the top six in the conference.
Chance Rock's a pretty sweet name, too.
And he's got I tweeted the photo. He's kind of got that Portland barista, old-timey railroad worker mustache going. It's like a half Raleigh Fingers right now.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I didn't know that was Chance, but now. Yeah.
You put kind of like a newsboy hat on him, and he could be like, you know, in a pair of coveralls working out on like some kind of late 1800s railroad. But you know, that he's kind of got quiet confidence. You know, he pitched New Mexico State is a good baseball program, and their stadium, I believe, is at almost 4,000 feet altitude wise. Like it's just basically a bandbox, and he was really, really good there. So I think that that bodes well, at least for transitioning to the Big Ten right away for him. Although I know Nebraska in the past has kind of had mixed results with transfer guys, but I think he's at least got the resume to come in and be pretty effective.
Does anybody under 30 still use the word sweet, by the way? Like, that's a sweet name. That's probably dating me a little bit. That and the fact I was watching Taxi reruns the other day kind of dating me.
Yeah, that I don't know. Maybe we can ask around. Yeah. Certainly the Taxi reruns would put you in a different age bracket, I think.
Yeah, I thought you were going to maybe come over to my house and do an intervention when I texted you that I was watching Taxi. But anyway, that star-studded cast, though. I mean, Christopher Lloyd, Andy Kaufman, Danny DeVito, dude.
You said you had a
Mary Lou Henner,
a Tom Hanks guest star, right?
Yeah, he plays a pothead. It's an episode where Christopher Lloyd, you know, Christopher Lloyd was sort of a drug guy in the show. And it shows Christopher Lloyd in college being this well put together fella who's against, you know, any sort of that recreational activity. And Tom Hanks is in there with a lava lamp doing some work on some things. So that was a surprise. But anyway, that's your taxi minute of the day.
That's a good transition. I'm guessing that there's probably a large segment of the population that would identify with baseball that would also very closely identify with taxi.
Yeah, they actually do crossover probably. But you mentioned Nebraska wasn't in the top six, which actually surprises me. I get the sense, maybe I'm misreading your tone of voice, but I think you think that's wrong. Okay, if you had to bet something of significance in your house that Nebraska would be top four in the Big Ten this year, would you say yes or no?
I would say that they would probably be right around the four spot. That's actually a really good over under on where I could see them finishing. I think that Nebraska is a better baseball team this year than what was reflected in that preseason poll. Like I said, I mean, I think there's teams that are very good and have a lot of returning guys, and even Purdue, which has not been a very good program the past few years. I mean, they basically returned all of their starters, all of their guys in the rotation. So that's going to be the problem in the Big Ten, I think, for, you know, most schools outside of maybe Michigan and Indiana. They weren't really hit by the draft last year. So you have a lot of veteran guys, some good arms, and it's going to be, I think, a pretty tough schedule. But that's why I would probably say, I would say yes, that I think Nebraska can get to four in the conference. I think Michigan and Indiana right now are just kind of ahead of everybody else in the league right now. They've really both have some dudes that can make some noise. The big thing to follow, obviously, and we can end on this, with the Big Ten only playing other Big Ten teams, would a top four finish in the league be good enough to make the NCAA tournament? In the past, yes, it has been, because you have those early season games to really kind of gain RPI points and, kind of get ahead that way. But I do think that it's going to be really tough if a Big Ten team is kind of borderline on whether or not they're going to get into the tournament to put them over a team in the ACC or the SEC, just because you don't have the head-to-head matchups at any point during the year to make that determination of how they kind of stack up.
Were you going through withdrawals this past week that there wasn't a Nebraska Northern Colorado series happening?
It was too warm. Like,
yeah,
it's always that Tuesday night game where this is the way the weather always works for that matchup. The Tuesday night game for Northern Colorado is usually the home opener. There's probably a good chance that it's about 38 degrees at first pitch. And then the next day it's like 67 and just the best spring day you could ever imagine. So yeah, it does feel a little weird that old Northern Colorado's not coming to town. You're not getting the midweek matchup with Creighton, where, you know, Ed Service comes in and makes 15 pitching changes, or, you know, that completely random Wednesday night game against Omaha where Nebraska seems like they always have to white knuckle it through that game. So it's going to be weird for sure. And, you know, you're going to have weekends with four games on it too. I mean, they're playing a doubleheader on Saturday where the first game's only seven innings. So it's going to look different, but it's at least it's finally baseball season. It's actually being played, which is a good sign.
It feels like that Nebraska, Northern Colorado is usually happening while Pro Day is happening, and some guy who actually ran a 4.77 was timed by someone's phone clock at 4.41, and that is making the rounds on social media.
Well, and as you know, it's never official until Gil Brandt tweets it. So that 4.7 that he heard some four fours and four fives is never really in the books until Gil tweets it.
So that's baseball. You got the preview. It's going down. Hoops is finishing up. They had a rough night against Iowa, but I kind of expect. Yeah, we don't have to dwell on that. I honestly kind of knew that was coming. I saw some people diving deep on social media about that game. I'm like, wasn't this kind of predictable? Maybe not 38 points, but Iowa's pretty darn good. And I sort of thought Nebraska was due to run it off the road for a game after a couple of good ones.
Yeah, no, it was – Iowa's a bad matchup for Nebraska. They're a bad matchup for a lot of teams. I mean, they're number five in the country for a reason. But
win this weekend. That's all.
You got to go beat Northwestern on the road. Have some good feelings going into the off season and the Big Ten tournament. But yeah, last night, I think the line was like 17.5, and you know when you factor Iowa just being really good, the fact that they believe shot 43 three pointers in that game. You know, it was just not going to be a good matchup. And then Nebraska kind of didn't make the trip, it seemed like, anyways. So that's just a bad recipe. And that's how you end up losing by – you end up giving up triple digits and just not looking interested in being there.
Yeah, I ended up watching Caddyshack. So and I felt okay about it.
You are, like, right around – like, late 50s, aren't you?
Yeah, it seems that way. It was sweet watching Caddyshack. Well, that's all I know. What do you have anything else to say, Bron? So you got anything you got to get off your chest about what's going on out there?
No, I think that's good.
I put enjoy the hammock weekend. Up.
Lots going on the site. Lots of
there is
baseball, basketball. Lots of recruiting. Nebraska's making more offers, more quarterback offers. So. Never a dull moment at Husker 24/7.
Yep. Come back for all the latest. Thank you for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.